Well, it is good to be here, as always. It's always good to be here. I'm just in a different spot today. So if you're a guest, I'm not the pastor. That's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
There we go. You can keep it. But so Pastor Mark is traveling. I'm pretty sure they took his daughter to college yesterday and the day before. And so they're traveling and around. So I'm getting to step up and fill in. But I'm so grateful for the team that kind of picked up a lot of the slack. Because you didn't want to hear me all morning. These guys are awesome. Yeah. So good. I'm always appreciative of this. I mean, we've got so many awesome volunteers around this church that serve here, the booth, the children, the kitchen, just all over all the time. And you guys are always appreciated, whether we say it or not. Sometimes we just forget to say it, but you're always appreciated, and we're so thankful for that. So I'm going to get to hang up here during the message this morning. A couple things I'm going to do is try to, real quickly, without boring you, go through some of my slideshow from my trip. I just got back from Zambia a couple weeks ago on a mission trip. Some of you know that. Some of maybe you didn't, if you're walking in here for the first time. And then I'm going to take a little bit to share part of a message to kind of give us something connected to the series that we've been in. I think next week is maybe the last week of the series, so we're getting close on that. That is almost done. But thank you first. I do have to say thank you. I know so many of you prayed for me on this trip, during the trip, after the trip, all around. A lot of you gave financially, and I mean, all that is huge and greatly appreciated. I can't thank you enough, and I hope and pray that some of the things you see will help you realize what a difference you are making. Whether it's this trip or the youth that you support or other trips that you've supported or missionaries that we support, it really does make a difference. Sometimes you wonder, but I have got to be there, boots on the ground, and see it face to face and know that it does. And I can see evidence of lives that are being changed. And so anyway, so I'll give you a real quick rundown of what happened on my trip. So here's the world map to kind of set the stage. We're in Ohio somewhere here. I realize this is very tough to point still. Like, it's very shaky when you get there. But, you know, we're in Ohio somewhere there, approximately, give or take. I'm like crossing three states, I think. Ohio to Detroit, you know where that is. So Detroit, I went over to Newark, New Jersey, flew out of there. Then I make this big trek over this big old ocean. And we go all the way through here. This was about 15 hours, which I slept about 11 or 12 of, all the way down to South Africa. And let me zoom in on Africa, so I'll show you where that is. So we're in South Africa. We landed in Johannesburg, right there at the bottom. Neat place. I've been there a couple times. Four years ago, I went to Kenya, which is up here. Then Zambia after that. And then Uganda after that, and then back to Zambia this year. It's the first trip I've been able to make back to the same location, which had a whole, that was a unique dynamic. It was weird to be on the other side of the world and recognize things. I know these airports. I know this road. I know this place. It was kind of weird. But anyway, so we flew from Johannesburg all the way up to Zambia, Lusaka. Actually, I'll back up real quick and show you, just because I'll forget later. But on the way home, we went from Zambia back down to South Africa, all the way back up to Frankfurt, Germany up here, and then up like just south of Greenland even, all the way to kind of come cut back down and back to Detroit. But anyway, so we're in Zambia. So now we get to Zambia. We land in Lusaka, which is, I mean, that's a major hub. This whole thing is huge. Africa is ginormous, but even just every country is huge. So Lusaka, we went from there up to Kabwe, and that's where we spent most of our time, was right there in Kabwe. That doesn't look like a very long trip, and on our U.S. roads, it might not be much different than going to Detroit or Cleveland, hour and a half, 2 hours, depending on where you're going. You guys know, we've got people that lived in Zambia. You know the roads there. That was a four-hour trip. In a car, that was a four-hour trip, because it's just, you don't get anywhere fast. Potholes, just random. There's random speed bumps everywhere, just out of nowhere. Like a main road, you're just going full speed, and then, and it's every man for themselves. Like most of those countries, there's just you just go. There's kind of a pattern of traffic, but you just go where you need to go when you need to go, and you just get there. So most of the this was a picture I took out of the plane. One of the planes, a lot of planes. I think probably at least 40 hours of flights to and from. But overall, travel went fairly well. except my first flight out of the gate, about 20 minutes ready to board, first flight, canceled. No, because I knew every other flight depended on timing to get all that. You know how that goes. If you've traveled, you know. But with there was, I think, some weather in New Jersey that night, and all the computer issues that they, that was right when all the airlines were having issues. We were on the tail end of that, hoping for the best, but the first one got shut down. So they put me up a night, and it all worked eventually. Had to do some scrambling to check up on some other hotels and flights and things, but got it covered. Just everything was a day late, and so, which is maybe symbolic. I feel like a lot of times I'm a day late, a dollar short. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe there's something to that. I don't know. Maybe that's another message, maybe. But anyway, so that happened. But got there, and things were well. And I also was shocked when I got back to know how many people knew that I was missing a bag on my trip. I was surprised. So some of you maybe didn't, but I feel like half of Old Fort knew that I was missing a bag on my trip and was praying for my bag. Thank you. That worked. I did get it back. Hallelujah. I got it at the airport in Lusaka when I was coming home. So I picked it up, took it upstairs, checked it back in, and then left and came home. So, but I eventually got it, survived, bought a couple of other shirts and things on the way there because I knew that I wasn't sure. And then I thought it was kind of funny. So before I left, one of the guys in Zambia, he's like, "Hey, I'm going to go out and get you. You need a clean shirt to go home in. So I'm going to go out and buy you a shirt." Buys me this shirt. I had not worn any kind of like plaid or anything all week, but he somehow instinctively knew that this is what I wear almost every week. This guy looks like he probably wears a lot of plaid. I do. So yeah, so funny that he got me this. Anyway, so very cool, very cool. But yeah, so travel went well. I am thinking maybe I want to start like a GoFundMe or something for next year. This guy had a carry-on that was also a motorized cart. I think that's amazing. So I may start a GoFundMe to see if I can get one of those. No, anyway, just kidding, but not. Anyway, so I'm just saying, it's pretty cool. So we get to Lusaka. Here's the airport. Decent-sized airport for that area, but not, you know, fairly small compared to over here. But there's Lusaka Airport. The first place we found, KFC. Like, who knew? Who knew Kentucky Fried Chicken was right over there? So we did skip that. And I feel bad. Like, you at home, I'm not sure how well you can see these pictures. If you can't see them very well, just invite me to your house for dinner, and I'll be happy to show you. I'll show you in your living room. I'll show you these pictures. So just let me know. But anyway, so if you can't see them well. But anyway, so we find a Kentucky Fried Chicken, but we skipped it because we went to my favorite place over there, Hungry Lion. Also a chicken place for fried chicken. Super, super good. They've got those. They do have some chains and things. ShopRite, that's, you know, they get groceries and some other things over there at ShopRite. So here's my chicken meal. So good fried chicken, fries. I love these fruticana drinks. We can't get those over here, but I love these fruticanas. They're like mango and guava and pineapple and orange. Just a really cool like fruit drink. This whole meal, about $3.50. Super cheap compared to our finances. Yeah, about $3.50 is that meal right there. I splurged at another meal, and I got this bad boy, this triple-decker chicken sandwich. That fries and a drink cost me like $5. So you're not going to get that at KFC over here. So that was pretty awesome. And just a culture thing. So one of the bathrooms at Hungry Lion, so you go in the main door to go to the bathroom, and I was looking for a men's, women's. I didn't see the sign. We go in, and here's what I find. Well, in here, this is the men's room. This is the women's room. That's how it's laid out in this one. You know, so yeah, that's definitely a little different. That's was a little awkward, but it was fine. But I'll also say, most places, you're lucky if there is a toilet. You're super lucky if there's a seat on it. And you're at, like, the Taj Mahal if there's toilet paper provided. That's kind of how it works. So again, we were pretty fortunate most of the time to have places that had at least usable facilities. The place we stayed was fine, but yeah, that's another thing you deal with. So anyway, so we're driving there. Here's just some kind of some sights and some things just to give you a view of kind of what we see when we're over there. A lot of roadside, I mean, a lot of dirt, right now they're also in a drought, so it's extra dirty, extra dusty. But there's just a lot of that. But there's a lot of these roadside shops is where most of them, a lot of them make their money. They'll set these up. actually zoomed in. I was looking to see if this was another one of Reem's market stands. I thought maybe you guys might have one set up over there too. I saw a lot of tomatoes and stuff, but I don't know. But yeah, I didn't find you. So, but I think maybe that's an opportunity. You can just set one up over there. So then we're driving along. This is, in fact, a sign for a speed bump. I asked if there was a fat man laying in the road that we had to watch out for. I didn't know, but it was, in fact, speed bumps, which, yeah, they're all over, potholes. It's just, roads are a little rough. Lots of trash. This wasn't even one of the dirtiest spots. This is just when I was thinking at the time, like, oh, I should take a picture of that. But definitely no litter laws or anything. It just, stuff gets chucked, and periodically they'll scrape some up and burn it off, and always something on fire, something burning. Here's going through, like, kind of coming out of Lusaka too, just one of the main areas. I mean, just pretty, I mean, that's the best road I saw maybe the whole time there. That was really nice. But just, you know, dirt, and it's all pretty simple. All the sides of the roads, all these shops and things, and, you know, people selling stuff along the side of the road all the time. If your windows are down, they might actually just shove it in there at you and try to sell it to you right in the window. But lots of these everywhere, and everything. I don't know if there's anything I didn't see them selling, at least in a side of the road or walking through the middle of the road, right in the middle of traffic. Just a lot of those kind of things. That's the general view, what you see coming through towns. This is more the countryside, not too different than here, although a lot of the greenery, a lot of that is fairly low-lying, just kind of a different landscape, similar but different. You know, like every state you go to, dirt's a different color, a little different texture. But there in no way does this do it justice, but the sunsets over there, just beautiful, just gorgeous. And I don't know if it was maybe the dust in the air that made the sun glow different or whatever, but it was just really something. I wish, there's a couple of these places I wish I could transport you and put you in that spot just so you could experience that in person. But that's what it is. So we get there, and one of several things I love is on these trips, and sometimes it's the beginning of the trip, sometimes it's the end of the trip. But we take our team, depending on how many we have and how many churches are available to do this. We split up in groups of maybe two or three, and we go to local churches and be a part of local churches in the area. I think that's fascinating. For me, that's always been, first year, that was a little weird. I was a little hesitant of that. I didn't know what we were walking into, and you still never know exactly what you're walking into, but you've got a general idea, and it's pretty awesome. So here we're driving to church. I've got to where now, because you never know what kind of building or wall or shack or whatever you're going to pull up on. There's some places that are fairly nice and everything, and some that are just barely, some maybe don't even have a roof. I mean, they just meet in a space. So I've got to where I asked the driver, hey, let me know when we're coming up on your church. I want to be sure to get a good picture to take home. So I can kind of see. So we're pulling up here again. I'm still looking for a church, and he's like, oh, there it is. And then I quickly put it together because I've been there before. This right here, that's the church. That right there, that's the church, which was one of the nicer ones. I've been to worse over there. So they're coming around the front here. These are the two girls that went with us, Tiffany and Caitlin. But here's the front doors. They're just kind of these iron gate door kind of things. Just very, very simple. And the kids are meeting on the side here. They're out in the yard here. There was a couple of kids' classes. Here's one of the classes. They were meeting. Tiffany was sharing with them for a little bit. I went over there for just a few minutes and kind of sat and watched a little bit. This picture specifically, I wanted to be sure to catch. They were going through this book, going through this lesson, and the lady happened to mention, she's like, well, these books were given to us from a group in the U.S. I'm like, well, that's cool. That's awesome. And then as I sat there for a second, I got to looking a little closer. I think I recognized that logo. I said, is that Samaritan's Purse? So yes, it is. So that's Operation Christmas Child that you guys participate in. All the boxes, they put these books in these boxes that go overseas. Again, the chances that that's our church is pretty slim, but that's the kind of places these go. the things that you do, again, once again, the things that you do matter. The things that you, the ministries that you pour into make a difference. I got to see it right there. A whole class of kids buried in this book, learning about Jesus, learning about God through these books that went because of things that you and other churches and other ministries have donated and given to. So that was like, whoo, I was pretty excited about that. I thought that was pretty fantastic. So that's going on. And then we get ready to go into, so this is another culture thing that's quite a bit different than what we do. Because they, a lot of them, I mean, they'll, I mean, some of them probably live close to that church, but a lot of them, I mean, they may walk a half hour, hour, 2-3 hours. I don't know. I mean, some of them, they'll go as far as they need to go, and they'll walk there, bike there, or whatever to get there. And so when they get there, they're not in any hurry to leave because they've made an effort to be there. It's pretty easy for us to get to church. And so I'm not going to shame anybody. I'm just saying it's definitely different. We sometimes lack a little, we miss some of the blessing because we don't work as hard for it, which I don't want to. I'm not saying I want to work that hard for it, but also it's a perspective thing. But once they get there, so we usually, when they take us to these churches, we get there for the main church. But before the main church, there's people there, I don't know, maybe at least an hour before, they're already praying, they're already singing, the band's cranked up and going cranked to 11 by the time we ever get there. They're going full bore when we get in. And then a lot of times when we get done with more music and the message and everything else, they'll usher us out because they very much appreciate their guests. They bring you to this little space up front. Usually the pastor and his wife has like a love seat and a little table that they get a fancy seat on one side. And then the other side, there's still a table with some waters and chairs for any guests. They treat you well, and then they'll usher you out. And a lot of times, the rest of the church, they'll still stay. I had one church, they still stayed. They sang some more. They broke into small groups. They did announcements. They did all kinds of other things after church was even over. And so they just kept going. Anyway, so finally, we move into like regular church. Here's their building. I don't know. I'm going to talk to trustees to see if we can paint the wall like that. That's kind of wild. But the love colors. Anyway, this morning in particular, so this is fairly common. They'll have maybe a group of singers, and then maybe somebody's out front leading. This guy led for a little while. That's actually a Lakers jacket, which I thought was kind of funny. So he's got this Lakers jacket, and then another girl came out later. They switched places, and she came out and led for a while. But one thing that happened that morning is because of all the drought in the area, the government frequently shuts down power to the country, like all of it. So power is just out. They have none. So this Sunday morning was one of those times. We had no power. So the keyboard player just kind of sat longingly looking at the keyboard, wishing he could play. Like, I felt bad. Just kept looking at it like, But yeah, poor guy. Like, oh, I feel bad. But they kept singing. Drummer gave them a groove to sing with. And it did not stop worship from happening. Those people worshiped with everything they had. Half of it I didn't understand. There's so many different dialects. A lot of the country does speak English, but there's also so many different dialects that the farther you get out from like cities, the more you get into rural areas, the less they speak English. And even in the cities, they love their local music, obviously, just as we would. I mean, that makes sense. But they'll break into just something in English that we've been singing for years. And so that's kind of neat. But man, they worshiped with everything they had. I couldn't get videos to work with our system. I wish I could show you a clip of that. But even as small, here's a picture looking back at the congregation. Again, fairly small place, fairly small congregation. There's the girls that went with us. They were kind of sharing about some of their ministry, what they're doing. There you can see the love seat where the pastor and his wife get to sit. That's in our little table with our waters there. So it's pretty nice. I'm not going to show that to Mark. He'll want to get a big love seat up here too. Lazy boy, maybe, just kick back. Don't show him this. But you would not believe the amount of sound in that room. The voices, they just lifted up and sang, and it was beautiful. I mean, harmonies and just full volume. They were just singing out, and it was just so cool. I just kind of sat and soaked it in a lot of the time and just listened. That's the only shot anybody got of me. I did get to preach that morning, so that was fun. So I got to give the message. I said, Pastor, what do you want from me? I want you to give the message. How, How long? What do you, I don't know. Like, I don't know what you're, I don't know. Nah, could you go 45 minutes? Oh, I'll try. I'll see what I can do. Like, I'll see what I can do. But yeah, I'd go in about 40. 40, I was good. But yeah, so that was really cool. Got to share about just what a lot deeper about what worship is. And that's one thing we end up sharing a lot at the schools too. They have, and again, like what I saw in that church, there's no lack of passion. They are fired up, ready to go, eager, hungry to learn. That's what I see in almost every place we go over there. But they lack a lot of the foundation and a lot of the theology, a lot of the whys. I mean, they love to worship. They just don't know. They sometimes don't know why they're worshiping, which is kind of a crazy thought to us because we very much understand a lot of the why. We understand, we've got the head knowledge of it. But kind of the reverse, we lack a lot of the passion. We lack a lot of the intensity in our worship. And so I kind of want to go over there with a group, but I want to bring a group there back here to teach the states maybe how to, and you know, and it can look different every place, but I at least want to see on your face that you get it. Like, you know, at least something, like some kind of sign that there's something getting through. But yeah, it's just an interesting culture. We're kind of like they have what we lack and we have what they lack. And it's kind of funny how God's church fits and really could grow and learn from one another. I thought that was pretty wild, and I've seen that multiple times. And anyway, so also as a typical custom, they love hospitality, and so we went to the pastor's house after church. This is the pastor's house. Somebody was asking me if I'd got to go in other homes to see what homes look like, and I said, no, not really. I mean, although you kind of drive by, you see places that you know are homes. It's kind of scary that they're homes, but you know they are. But I said, to put it in perspective, this being the pastor's house, this obviously was going to be one of the nice houses because they take care of their pastor. So this being one of the nice houses, that gives you perspective on what some of the not nice houses would look like. Extremely simple, extremely primitive. We actually went in this middle section right here is the living room. I mean, it's just tiny. You can see people for kind of a reference. I mean, it was not much bigger. I mean, even depth-wise, it was not much bigger than this. And there's three love seats in there because they just love to have people come in and sit and be with them and share hospitality together. And so they brought us in just to sit down for a minute just so we could be in their home. And then you could see, like, there was just kind of a hole back there where the kitchen was, where they were fixing lunch for us. We actually had lunch outside. This is just under a mango tree. We got to sit under a mango tree and have lunch that afternoon. They laid out a blanket there on the floor, on the ground, and just kept bringing out bowls and dishes and more food. And so I got to dine on like a whole half of a fish, like a fish head, and just pull that out. It was pretty fantastic. Like, but they fire cook a lot of stuff, like cook a lot of stuff just over an open fire. So it's got this really like almost a barbecue kind of vibe. Yeah, that's good. So that's good. I was worried about food, but that was good. Here's the Pastor Jonathan and his wife that hosted us, a couple more members of their church, and then Tiffany and Caitlin that went with us. Super, super good people. So that was awesome. So anyway, so then we finally get, So the night we got there, so I'll backtrack a night. This was when we got there. I finally got there a day late, dollar short. This was our team gathering. They were wrapping up their meetings. They had meetings for a couple of days, and so I had to play catch up very, very quick. Was really glad that I'd been on trips before and had been to that location because that helped a lot. So I was able to catch up, but we met with a team. This was a space at that lodge where we stayed. Here's examples of the kind of buses we took. You know, there may be, I don't know, 30 passenger buses, but we'd have 50 people in there sitting in the floors, sitting on laps. You just cram in there wherever you can, wherever you find a spot. This is the place we stayed, this Zambezi Source Lodge. So it's one of the resorts. So it's the fancy place. Although I didn't mind it. It was pretty nice. The actual rooms we stayed in were these kind of rows of buildings here, and so each section here would be a place to stay. You walk in. There's actually decent little living room over the other side. There was a lot of times gonna be a table, and then back through the doors there's a bathroom and like three rooms. A couple smaller ones like this and one bigger one. There was a couple that stayed with us in our little place. I did not take pictures of the bathroom where the ants were crawling out of the toilet and the sink. I just decided not to. You didn't want to see that. So those are the spots that aren't quite as nice. And this is coming out in the morning. There was also, again, this is another place I wish I could just transport you and put you in that spot. this was such, it's such a serene moment. We had to get up fairly early, so it's early, it's quiet, there's not a whole lot of commotion going on yet. There's a little chill in the air, still a little haze in the air, sunrise is coming up, poking through that. And there was just one of those, I don't know, it was just a, it was just one of those moments in my head that stick with me. It was just kind of a calm before the storm, because we knew the day was going to be crazy. We knew it was going to be all kinds of chaos for the rest of the day. There was that little moment of peace that God was just, all right, soak in this moment. Just take a breath, be still, know that I'm God, and get ready. And then we were off. And so then we were off to Mulungushi University. There's a university, a college there where we did all of our intensive school. In some ways, not too different than universities over here, although you don't see a whole lot of dirt roads and dirt entrances like that. You know, we're packed in the van going one of the main roads through there. Again, still just dirt and potholes, and that's one of the main places. But I think they said it's one of the smaller universities over there, but still not a bad sized place. I snapped this on the way by. This is where we met 2 years ago, which was just kind of interesting because that's where we had our school 2 years ago, but we outgrew that. I think before we had maybe 100 to 120 people that attended. This year we had about 300 people attend. The team went from about 15 to 20 to about 50 to 60 people on the team that came from the U.S. and from other countries in Africa. So we upgraded from that building to this building. On the other side of campus. Nice spot. It worked out really well. Was kind of cool. So you go in these doors here and to the left. When you go in the middle of the building, there's like this open courtyard with this tree coming up in the middle. It was kind of interesting, kind of neat, because, I mean, weather is usually fairly dry, and so they really don't have to worry about it. And then we walked on down the hall, heading down to our big room where we're going. So what we had going on here, we initially started a lot of these trips working with worship leaders. And from there, it extended a little to where some pastors would come on occasion. And maybe they'd have a couple of sessions where they just work with pastors. And then it broke out into, we ended up adding, okay, well, let's say this is specifically for worship leaders and pastors. And we want them to come together. And so we did that for at least a year. And then this year, we made it mega because we wanted more people to be there. But we also wanted to do, and we had already kind of toyed with this a little and worked with this a little, but we wanted pastors, worship leaders, and children's directors to all come together. And we required or highly encouraged, like, if your church is going to come, we want all three of you to come. We don't want you to come by yourself. We don't want you to come, but we want all three of you to come together because we want you to learn and grow together, which is kind of a big deal for them. Because also in that culture, and not every church, but frequently in those churches, you see this hierarchy of the pastor's the only one really, like, hired by the church or works for the church. Everybody else volunteers, and everybody else's opinions really don't necessarily count. You do what the pastor says, and a pastor should be authority in your church. That's part of it. But this is to a level where that's it. There's no questioning. That's who's in charge. That's who says what goes. There's no planning. There's no growing. There's no team building. There's no discipleship necessarily, other than I'm in charge and here's what we're going to do. And some of them are great pastors. I've sat under a couple messages that were incredible. But that's kind of the thing. And so to get them to come together to something like this was really pretty amazing. And I'll show you some more later of how that took even a step further. But so we had them come check in their different places, whether you're children's worker, pastor, worship leader. Everybody comes in, checking in. Everybody's starting to get there. Here's the space we were in before everybody got there. We're setting up, praying over chairs, praying over the space. There's the front looking back. Here's the back looking forward, just to kind of get an idea of the space. And then here's after we filled it. Packed in there. And I feel like every day more, because Africa also runs on their own time schedule. They kind of just show up when they're ready, which is also tough to. We're so structured and by the clock. I need a time. I need to know where, when, how, like what I'm doing. And they just kind of, they'll get there when they get there. And so through the week, more people showed up and more people showed up and more. So it was a little less at the beginning, but man, they were fired up from the get-go, ready to go, Here's again more shots of just the room full. A lot of times the worship team was some of our U.S. people, some people from Zambia, some people from other places. Most of the time, you know, maybe 4, 5, 6 people on the team. One night we did get, we had a ton of singers there. I mean, I think everybody in the room was technically a singer. They all feel like everybody sang over there, but we had our team get up and did kind of a choir that one night, and did some more stuff. That was really cool. And then just real quick, some of our cast of characters that we had there. We had actually down here on the ground here. This is Pastor Danny from Kenya. He came over from Kenya. Such a sweet dear man. I would love to just hang out with this guy like all the time. Super super humble servant. Great pastor. He runs a whole lot of stuff in Kenya. These guys are so humble, but yet you find out like after the fact, like, oh, they're like the district whatever, or they're the president or the whatever of this organization or this. And then how many churches are you over? Oh, 3 to 4 or 5,000. Like, what? Like, yeah, I mean, it's crazy. And then the guy speaking is Pastor Casey from Zambia. He's a little more bold in your face kind of personality, but same kind of thing. He runs like a lot of Zambia. And so it was great to have him with us. He helped us organize a lot of this, and some of our team there. Here's Dwayne, who runs Next Level Worship, Dwayne Moore. Some of you have been around here for a few years. You've seen him. He was here before to help us kick off or end a series with a study we did of his. So that was him. Here's Randy Norris. He's a pastor down in Tennessee, also pretty influential down there. Super, super neat guy. He's on the board of directors for Next Level, so that was kind of cool to get to have him with us, for him to be a part of that. Donald Kutala, he is from Zambia. He's our Africa director for Next Level Worship. This is Pastor Wilson Bagimbe. Met him last year in Uganda. So if anybody heard me talk about my stuff last year, there was a very, very large, huge church in Uganda that we got to be a part of and do a worship night at. That's his church. So he came over to Zambia this year to share and to give one of the messages. We had a couple people from their country come over. So he got to share, which was really neat to get to reconnect with him. Also, man, just he's fired up and ready to go. Yeah, other shots, just neat to see this room. I mean, and there was, I wish you could see it in action. These guys were, they were fired up. Here's just an example of some of the, you also have to be creative because you work with what you've got. So we had no rug, everything's slipping around. So we stuck a giant rock in front of the drums so the drums didn't slide away. The first night we had no drumsticks, and so I grabbed twigs off the ground. We used twigs off the ground just to make it work. You do what you got to do. So you make that work. What else did I have? Oh, this picture's for you, Dan. So here's our sound system. It's up here. So if you want to start doing that on Sunday, we can set you up here if you want. You can be part of the action if you want to. But yeah, actually, we had to swap that board out because that one was junk. We had somebody bring us another one. But that's pretty common too. A lot of the churches, that's where. And sometimes you don't have a sound guy either. You've got a keyboard player who's also running sound or doing other things. You just work with what you've got. And it's also was a humbling reminder in the church I was in, and even in the conference where we specifically like asked and hired and brought things in. You still just work with what you have. And we, again, sometimes here we get so comfortable with what we have that we don't really appreciate. We keep thinking of all the things we don't have, and we don't appreciate the things we do. I'm guilty. A couple more quick pictures. Here's where we did most of our meals. When we weren't doing main sessions, we broke out into just sessions wherever, whatever room we could find, or, again, weather was nice. Our summer is the same time as their winter. Our seasons are kind of reversed. So weather was actually pretty similar that it was at home, maybe even nicer in Zambia because we didn't have the humidity. So it was maybe even a little bit better. So groups would meet out for their breakout sessions, sometimes just little solo people working on extra things. Here's a group of pastors, which again, like I said, the pastor doesn't, not all, but a lot of those churches, the pastor doesn't play well with their congregation. They definitely don't play well with other churches. It's a lot of them see another church as a competition. And so that's kind of a tricky thing too. So again, to get pastors in a room like this, learning and growing together was pretty amazing. Here's a lot of the children's workers in their breakout space doing what they do. And then another awesome thing is in the main sessions, after we'd finished a lot of the main sessions, we'd have like little, just little small group times where we'd say, okay, now you get your church together. And so we would see that's what's happening here. You've got pastor, worship leader, children's worker all in a little huddle here from churches that may or may not typically have any conversations like that. And now they've just heard a lesson and they're sitting there diving into something that the Lord spoke to them about, getting ready to figure out, okay, how can we take this back to our church? How can we go back and make an impact in our area, in our ministry, in what we're doing with what we just learned? And so to sit and see this was one of those moments where some of the leaders, we sat back and watched and said, yeah, that's why we come. That's why we're here. I mean, it's awesome to speak. It's awesome to do music. It's awesome to just hang out and whatever, see the sights. But to see life change happening, to see people that are going to go back and multiply and spread that all over, that was awesome. And then this was another thing we did on the last night. We had, I think, 8 countries represented in this one hub. The last night we had each country at different times pop up and we prayed for their country. We've got some from the UK, from Zimbabwe in that picture. This is Kenya. I don't even remember all the countries we had, but we spent time praying for over each of those countries, which was a real powerful moment. And then I snapped this shot too. This was another powerful moment. There's a lot of this kind of thing that went on too. This is Anthony Rhodes. He's a pastor and also down in Tennessee, praying with these two people here that were just moved. They were moved and wanted prayer. This man specifically right here that's with his head bowed, he's blind. And I think it was a day or so after this, we brought him up and he actually sang for us. We cranked the band up and he led some worship for 2 or 3 songs. And just, I mean, it was some of the most powerful stuff that happened the whole week. His heart was so full of joy and so full of worship that he just came up and just cranked it up. It was really, really cool. Sunset. Most of the time when we left at night, it was dark. But one night we left early enough I could catch a sunset before we left there. And this was kind of the sky when I was getting supper one night. It was kind of cool. So real quick, a couple more pictures. This is our children's team with our U.S. and our Africa team. One night we brought them up just to thank them for what they're doing. So I told you they would meet. They would go to the big sessions. They would do their breakout sessions and teach and train how to be effective in working with the children, how to do this with the kids. And then they would cram on those buses and they would go to the community and they would do it. They would learn it, and then they would go do it. And they would work with kids in the community, doing Bible schools in the community. And this is a couple shots of a couple of these churches. Here's one. Here's another. These kids would just flock from wherever. If they caught wind that you were going to be there, they would just come from wherever and would flock to these places. I think I heard between all the days they were there, and all of the different churches they were able to go to and spread out to, I think they probably connected and spoke to about 3,000 children that week, which was pretty amazing. Pouring into the lives of 3,000 kids that are then going to go back and tell mom and dad and tell their friends and go share that, teaching them what worship is, teaching them about God and how to go deeper with that. So super, super amazing. And then here's just the whole team, our whole team that went with us. So awesome. They were great, great from a little bit everywhere. But yeah, super cool, super cool. I talked too long. I promise I won't hold you too much longer. But if you're ever interested in any of these trips, if you want to go crazy and go overseas, or if you're looking for something more local in the area with Next Level Worship, or any other thing, any other trip, there's plenty of opportunities to do things like that in a lot of places. And different things. Talk to me, talk to Pastor Mark. We'd love to talk with you more about that. But those are so awesome to get to go to. And even if you don't, your prayer, your financial support, all that was huge. And it really does make a difference. So I'm going to switch gears here real quick. And I'm going to give you just a fairly quick message. I'll roll through this pretty fast. I'll cut some things out. And we'll maybe, I don't know, or maybe we want to do Africa Church today. You guys got lunch plans? Yeah, we'll do Africa Church, and then you can bring me to your house for lunch. So, yeah. No, anyway, so I'm going to real quick switch over, and some of what I'm going to talk about today comes actually from a study we did, this Pure Praise, that's a next level worship study. I know we've had some of the worship team did it. Phyllis, you took a group through it. Really, really good stuff. If anybody happens to be interested in that, that you want to go through that with your group, I'd be happy to go through a group with it sometime too. Let me know. There's lots of things out there. But anyway, so some of this comes from some of that. But we're going to look today at 2 Chronicles. We're going to go Old Testament. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. That'd take too long. But I'm just going to give you a synopsis of how it starts. And then we're going to walk through a few observations in there. But basically, so we're going to go Old Testament. We're talking about King Jehoshaphat. King Jehoshaphat, things are going pretty well. He's got his eyes on the Lord. He's telling his people to keep their eyes on the Lord. Things are pretty good. Things are well. Life's not bad. Things are all right. Things are in good shape. Until chapter 20 hits. So chapter 20 hits. Now, some of his guys come running in. They're like, whoa, 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 King Jehoshaphat, listen. There are armies that don't like us that are coming our way right now to finish us off. We got armies marching as we speak. I think there was at least 3 armies mentioned in the scripture. I don't know if there was more or less or whatever, but there was at least 3 armies that he mentioned. There's these guys, and they're all coming. And so here we go. So now he's obviously concerned and alarmed, but this is the cool thing. What we see in this passage, though, is even faced with this, the very first thing Jehoshaphat does, point one, is he prayed. And so we find that right in here in verse 3. In verse 3, it says, there we go, alarmed, naturally, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. So he inquired of the Lord. What did he do? He cried out to God. Immediately, that was his first response, other than being alarmed. He cried out to God. He sought the Lord. He inquired of the Lord. So that's what he did first. He prayed. Second thing he did is he fasted. We also see this in verse 3 in that second part. So after he inquired of the Lord, he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. So it wasn't just important enough for him personally to fast. He's like, okay, I need all of you to fast. This is a big deal. This is a problem. We've got to get serious about this. We have to seek the Lord about this so we know what to do. And so he sought the Lord and he proclaimed that for all of Judah. And then he moved on to point 3. The next thing he did, we see, is that then he trusted. He put his trust in the Lord. We're going to look at a couple specific verses, but before we do that, I want you to read. So what he did is he got up in front of his people. He got up in this courtyard and he said a prayer. We'll go back and catch a couple things in this prayer, but I want to read this whole prayer for you first. Here's what he prayed. He stood up in front of his people and said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of Abraham, your friend? I skipped the line. The inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and give it forever to descendants of Abraham, your friend. They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword or judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. And so let's first jump back to verse 9. In verse 9, we see that they don't know what's coming, and he's preparing for the worst. So if calamity, sword, judgment, plague, famine, whatever, he knows that God is faithful. He trusts in the Lord. And he says, he knows, like, God, I know that you'll hear us in our distress. You'll hear us and you'll save us. And so he puts his trust in the Lord. We jump over to verse 12. We see another instance of that in this same prayer. That second part says, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Rightfully so. They had no idea. They don't know exactly what's coming. They don't know exactly when. They don't know how many. They don't know what that's going to look like. They don't know exactly how to respond, what to do, but they set their eyes on the Lord. Then, after all this, he prays, he fasts, he trusts, then he listens. He listened. A lot of times we struggle enough sometimes just to take things to God in prayer. Even less times do we pray and then stop and listen for an answer. We just kind of expect it to happen or expect it to show up in this blaze of glory and like, oh, here you go. Woo, here's exactly what you want. And I'm going to give it to you right now, right away, just what you wanted. Sometimes that doesn't happen. And sometimes we've got to listen because God has something else to say to us. And he wants to share something in a unique way. And so he did. He shared in kind of a unique way. Starting in verse 15, here's what he shared. He shares this through Jehaziel, which is one of King Jehoshaphat's men. Jehaziel comes running in because they've all been praying. They've all been fasting. He comes in. He's like, whoa, hey, hold on. Listen. And so here's what he says. He says, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Jerusalem, or Judea and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. So Jehaziel heard the word. Jehaziel's bringing it to Jehoshaphat. Here's what he said the Lord said. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. So here's the word. Jehaziel says, okay, the Lord says, here's what he says. Go ahead and go. Here's where they're going to be. Here's where you're going to find them. But you're not going to have to fight. You just need to get there. The Lord's going to be with you. You're not going to have to fight this battle. Sounds awesome. As a leader, I'd still have some questions. I'd still be a little hesitant. Okay, well, how and what does that look like? And how does that work? And I don't know. But that's not what Jehoshaphat did. What did Jehoshaphat do? The next thing he did was he worshiped. Verse 18, here's what he did. Here's what he did in verse 18. Jehoshaphat bowed down, and it wasn't just to bow his head. He bowed down with his face to the ground. He's on the ground. And not only him, all the people of Jerusalem, or Judea and Jerusalem, fell down in worship before the Lord. God hasn't even delivered yet. He's just showed up and said, I'll take care of it. And they all immediately, they fell to the ground and they worshiped him and gave him the praise that he's honored and due. Again, I don't know. I'd like to think I would do that, but I don't know if that would be my next response. But then their response after that was they got up and then they praised. Number six is they praised. They trusted that God would deliver. We find this in verse 21. So verse 21, we get to, after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. So he appointed men to praise and to sing and to worship. But don't miss this. Check this out. In this verse, he didn't just appoint them to praise and sing. Where did he put them? He put them out at the head of the army. They led the army into battle. It wasn't their best fighters. It wasn't guys with swords and shields, you know, burly men and ready to beat somebody up. The people on the front lines, worshipers. They put them on the front line to worship and to praise and to shout to God and to thank him, just knowing that he'd deliver. Not knowing exactly how, when, what that was going to look like, but they trusted and they shouted, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. And then, so spoiler alert, they march into battle, and it happened. God took care of it. They march in, they get to the place, and I don't know if they got how much they got to see of it, but all these other armies that were marching into battle to take care of Jehoshaphat and his army, they turned on one another, and they took themselves out. They wiped themselves out before Jehoshaphat even had to do anything about it. So they took them down. So they literally walked up to this battle and didn't have to fight at all. Armies were already destroyed. They swung in, grabbed the spoils of war, took supplies and things back to their community, supplied things for their community. And from there, then, rightfully so, the last thing they did was they rejoiced. So number seven, they rejoiced. This is see this in verse 27 and 28, which is not the end of the chapter, but that's where we're gonna wrap up for today, or in this part. Then, led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lutes and trumpets. The fear of God came upon all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for God had given him rest on every side. So they came back, they were victorious, they came back and celebrated. Not only that, because of their stance in the Lord, because of their faith in the Lord, the whole region saw that. All the countries saw that. Everybody saw that. Hey, we're not going to mess with those guys because God is on their side. God showed up in a big and mighty way because they prayed and they praised. They gave God their all. They put their full trust in him. And so, now to make the connect to the series, there is a connect, there is a direction. Again, I'm not going to read all of this either, but we're going to look at Psalm 107. There's a connect here. You get to Psalm 107, verse 1. Psalm 107, verse 1 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." Where did we just hear that? We heard that in 2 Chronicles. That's what they chanted and what they sang and what they yelled as they marched into battle. Now, in your Bible, Psalms comes after 2 Chronicles, but chronologically, that would have already happened. And you can't tell me Jehoshaphat didn't know these scriptures. There's other places in Psalms where you see this same thing too, but you can't tell me he didn't know that, and that wasn't a song that he was singing because of scripture that he knew, because of deliverance that he knew from God before. Because what we see in Psalm 107, and this is one thing I want you to do this week if you can, look more at Psalm 107, but I'll just give you, again, snippets. We see instances of different people in different catastrophes, different quote-unquote battles, different issues, different struggles. And what we see is, so like verse 4, we see that some wandered in the desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. But here's the cool thing that we see. Then they cried out to God. They cried out to God. And guess what happens next? God delivers. God shows up. We see that down in verse 10. There's another instance. Here's some in darkness and gloom, their prisoners suffering in chains. They rebelled against the words of God, despised the counsel of the Most High. They're in bad shape too. But then they cried out to God. And God showed up and God delivered. And there's at least one or two more places in there. Same kind of thing. People in bad shape, in a bad way, going through stuff, going through life, which we've all have. We all have that stuff. But then they cried out to God and God showed up. Now, he may not necessarily have answered exactly what they wanted. He may not have answered it when they wanted, how they wanted. And we're going to find that too. So don't ever think God's just going to show up and give you what you want. But God sees the big picture. He listens. And in some way, some shape, some form, if we earnestly seek him, he will answer us in some way, somehow, at some point when the time is right. And I want to encourage you this morning to trust him. When you face something, maybe you have, maybe you are, maybe you will, at some point, I guarantee you we all have stuff. Seek him, inquire of him, cry out to him. Actually, I love the title because there's so many ways we can cry out to God. We can cry out in sorrow, we can cry out in joy, we can cry out in everything in between. There's so many ways to cry out, but he just wants us to do it. He just wants us to cry out to him, wants us to know that he's there. So cool. Such good stuff. I'm going to actually invite the worship team to come up now as I wrap up these last couple thoughts. Because like I said, we don't know what kind of battles we're going to face. We don't know when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, why it's going to happen. But we just need to be prepared and ready for that when it does. And know that, and the thing is how are we going to respond? Are we going to respond in fear? Are we going to respond in defeat? Are we going to retreat, or are we going to rise to the challenge like Jehoshaphat did and say, "Nope, I don't know what's coming. I don't know what we're going to do, But God, we're going to seek you and we're going to ask you. We're going to ask you what you want to do, how you want to do this. What do you want us to do? Where do you want us to be? And then listen. Listen for that response. We're not going to take time to do that now, but one thing, again, I want to encourage you to do, and this is on me too, find a time this week when you can just be quiet and be still and be by yourself and do that. Just spend time, whatever it is, whatever, if again, maybe it's something you're going through now, or maybe you suspect something's coming, or you just want to be ready, but pray to the Lord, seek him, and then just listen. Wait for him to speak. And as he does, and maybe that may be instant, that may be next week, it may be next year, it may be a long time from now, but as he does, either way, you worship him and you thank him for who he is, because you know he's listening, you know he's faithful. And then, again, whether or not it's answered right away or not, or whether it's answered like you want it to or not, praise him because you know he's worthy, because you know he's faithful. And actually, I want to do that right now. I want to get a little silly, a little crazy, not really silly, just crazy. But yeah, I want to invite you all to stand. We're gonna sing in a minute, but before we sing, I want to get us ready. This is like the interlude, the intro to the song. So I want you all to, and maybe you're even thinking of something you're going through right now. But I'm putting every one of you on the front line of battle this morning. We're all in the army this morning. We're all in the front line of battle, and we've called all of us to praise. We've called all of us to worship, and all of us to sing and to shout. And so I want to, yeah. Here's what they sang. Here's what they shouted. And so this morning on the count of three. Don't just say it. Don't just say it with me. I want to shout this. This is a battle cry. This is what they marched into battle with to defeat an army with God's help, with God's strength, with God on their side. This is what they yelled. And so here we go. Like on the count of three. Let's shout this together. One, two, three. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Let's do it again. One, two, three. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love. Now give me more. One more time. One, two, three. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Amen. Let's just give him a round of applause. Let's just praise God. So as we leave this morning, if you've been here the last several weeks, you know that Mark is always kind of giving you a challenge for the week. I've already kind of challenged you to get alone with God and pray, but specifically, read the Psalm. Psalm 107 is what we hit this week. It's in your notes, Psalm 107. Read that. Look at those instances of people that have had these issues, cried out to God, and God delivered. And put that in perspective in your own life. Where have I had issues? And did I cry out to God or did I not? Did I listen? Did I not? Did I praise him or did I not? What you're going through now. And if you have never cried out to God, why not? Why wouldn't you? We have access to the God who created the universe, who created all things, who loves us, cares for us, wants to be there for us. If we haven't cried out to him, why in the world would we not? So I encourage you to do that. Do that this week as you spend time with him. He's always listening. He's always faithful. Oftentimes, he's far more ready to answer than we're ready to ask. And so be sure you do. Be sure you ask. And then go to him. Praise him when he answers. I thank you guys so much for letting me share this morning. I know I don't get to do this very often. So I got a little long-winded. We had like half Africa church today, so it's a little long-winded. But I thank you for the time. I love my church, and by my church I mean every one of you, every one of you. God loves you. I love you. I'm excited about what's to come. If we seek the Lord on things, if we step up and rise to the challenge, rise up to the battles that we face, we have no idea what God can do and will do in and through each and every one of us. I love you all. Thank you so much. God bless. Lord, thank you for today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. See you next week.